God's Word, faithfully preached, is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives, delivering them from the shackles of sin, the flesh, and the world, and transforming them into useful vessels through whom Jesus can pour out His blessings. Living Seed invites you to a feast of the truth as God's servant brings to us the Word of Life.
I will be dealing with the five required R's for effective leadership. The theme talks that you'll be going through all the time, we shall be dealing with the five required R's for effective leadership. This first segment, we shall be looking at the resourcefulness of an effective leader. The resourcefulness of an effective leader. And to draw our issues, we are going to pick a very, very familiar passage that Jesus Christ Himself began to speak about when He was preparing the men that He wanted to use to spearhead that Pentecostal outburst. While He was anticipating a worldwide outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and He had selected these men to be with Him, He had sat over their lives. He took them aside, sometime to the mountain, sometime to the riverside, sometime into the garden, just to have an exclusive time with them, an exclusive moment of undiluted instruction for their lives. And in one of those, He began to deal with what I decided to tag this morning as the resourcefulness of an effective leader. And for our basic text, I use the word basic because we are going to check other texts as the Spirit of God will be guiding us. But something basic that we can draw from, we'll take it from the book of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 6. Luke and chapter 6. From verse 39 down to verse 45. We're dealing with the resourcefulness of an effective leader. And in the course of our discussion, we'll be looking at the different aspects in which an effective leader must be resourceful, must be someone who is full of internal resources from which we can draw to provide spiritual and even practical leadership in the midst of men. Verse 39. And He spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, for perceive not the beam that is in thy own eye. Either, how can thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt tree, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Let's stop at verse 45 as we begin to draw the resourcefulness of an effective leader. And you will permit me to first analyze this passage as quickly so as to draw the issues that the Lord was confronting those that he wanted to raise, those that he was planning and he was preparing to become the leaders, the carriers, the custodians of what he wanted to release upon the face of the earth in their days. What were the issues he was confronting them with? He first began by posing a question. Look at the question. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Did you see that question? Did you see that question? Can the blind lead the blind? What's your answer to that question? Eh? Why? Why not? Don't tell us what will happen to them. Why can the blind not actually lead the blind? Because, you see, the only reason why you can lead the blind is that you have what he does not have that is making him to depend on you for leadership. What does the blind not have that is making him to need somebody to lead him? He has no eyes. So if I am going to become his leader, what will make me to become the leader of a man that has no eyes? Eh? It means that my own eyes are correct. So if a man is blind, let's take note of this now. Maybe he could do other things. Maybe he could provide another form of leadership. But the leadership of saying, go this way, follow me like this, he is not resourceful sufficiently to provide that. Am I correct? Now, let's ask the next question. Should he undertake to provide leadership for the blind while he himself is blind? What was he planning for the person he wanted to lead? I thought you would answer me quickly. He was planning disaster for them. And for himself as well, the Bible said, shall they not both do what? Fall into the ditch? Before I leave that, it appears to me as if, even in that illustration, the blind that is willing to be led, as if God was not blaming him, since he knows that he is blind and is looking for someone to do what? To lead him. His own blindness is pardonable, is contained. Because if a man is blind and is willing to stretch his hand for someone else to guide him and to lead him like this, and say, go like this, move like this, move like this, move like this, he can actually move in life without suffering damage. Huh? But he is totally dependent on who? The person who is leading him. But if the person who offers to be a leader does not have eyes to see, what is he venturing to? What does he want to become? Does he want to become a leader? What is he be planning to become? He wants to become a killer, a destroyer. Am I right? So let's put it together. A leader who has no resources for what he is attempting to do is not a leader, but a killer, a destroyer, a wicked man. Leadership is so crucial that those who attempt to step into leadership, they must accept responsibility for whatever damage they are causing in the lives of those they lead. I don't know whether I'm communicating with you now. Eh? Do you know it is better not to be a leader than to be a misleader? Is there a word like that? Eh? You have not heard that before. A misleader. Who is a misleader by simple definition, please? Eh? Someone who misleads another. Did you hear that Jesus Christ did not keep quiet about misleaders? He said, if there be anyone who does not keep this commandment of mine and teaches others to do so, that same person will be the least in the kingdom of God. And in fact, he said, a millstone will be tied on his neck. That it were better for that man to be drowned in the sea than the judgment he will face for causing any of these ones that believe in me to stumble. Leadership, if it is done accordingly and effectively, is a great blessing. But leadership that misleads, that leads people into the ditch, will not go scot-free. He will not go declared innocent. This is where the gravity of leadership has become so heavy. And this is why the resourcefulness of a leader cannot be compromised if we are not going to become misleaders. So the Lord Jesus was raising the first issue there. The first issue is that if a man will accept leadership and he does not have the resources to lead, he does not have what it takes to lead those that could not see for themselves and lead them to the place of their desired interests or the place of God's purpose for their lives, and only leads them into the ditch, that man, that woman, will not go scot-free. So, you see the first problem. You have become leaders. And people in your fellowships, they are following you. They do whatsoever you are asking them to do. When you plan programs, they carry out those programs as though it were from God. You need to be asking, is my life bearing a correct leadership for these lives? I hope they will not fall into the ditch of their lives simply because I led them. So while Jesus was raising that issue, he said, can a blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? He raised the first critical matter. What will have made a man to lead other people who are blind is that he has the prerequisite resources to lead them to where they want to go because he can see. Let's hang that. We hang that. We are coming back to it later on. Number two, the Lord Jesus raised another issue that has to deal with the resources of a leader. Did you see what he said in that next verse 40? Who can read what he said in verse 40 for me? A student is not above his teacher. Everyone that is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. What does that again imply? It implies that once somebody accepts the leadership capacity or the leadership status. He becomes, please take note of the word I want to use now, he becomes the climax attainable by those that he is leading. The highest heights a group can attain is the height of their leaders. Which means, as you are sitting here, are you hearing me? You are the height to which your fellowship can rise to, no matter how they try. Oh my God. Did you get what I'm talking about? The best you could get from a course will be what the teacher knows about that course. Unless you decided to look for other resources outside him. Oh my God, you are not hearing me at all. Eh? The course that a lecturer teaches you, you cannot know that course beyond what that teacher knows. Am I correct? Unless you do what? You consult other sources outside him. So the resourcefulness of the teacher is the climax attainable by his students, unless those students are wise enough to look away from him and go and look for something else and be doing extra study. That's the rule. So the question I'm dealing with here is this. It means that the resourcefulness of a leader is what defines, is what defines, I use the word define, I'm using it very clearly, I mean carefully. It makes me to be afraid of being a leader. Because I now realize that my resourcefulness defines the people that I'm leading. All those that are under a leader, when they have done their best, they will only be less than or equal to him. They can't be greater than him. If they are going to be greater than him, it means they have looked outside him, they have sought for resources from others apart from him. Now, this is the trouble. Can you see the trouble? Many of you want to be an exclusive leader. You don't feel nice that the people under your fellowship, they are going somewhere else to get resources. You feel bad when they are looking somewhere else. You are likely saying, what are you doing there? What are you? Where are you going? We also have Bible study here. Do you know that your Bible study is only a definition of your personal resources? And if your own personal resourcefulness is narrow, if it is vague, if it is shallow, how much can those under you get? It has to be narrower. In fact, it has to be less than, or at most, equal to. I don't know whether I'm making things complex. You are following me. That's good. So, for a man to be an effective leader that does not narrow people, that does not misdefine them, he must be a man of ever expanding resourcefulness. That's the kind of brother I pray that you will become in the name of Jesus. That's the kind of sisters that God wants to make of you. That those that come under your fellowship, they will not be unfortunate. When a man is brought into leadership, the poverty of his own personal resources of life does not only define him, it defines all the people under his hands. Not only that, it defines them, it determines their trajectory in life. It determines the path available for them to take in life. Huh. Leadership is a terrible thing if it is not carefully handled. That's why we are going to be praying this morning. Not only that it defines them, it also determines their opportunities. It determines the path they could ever take. Some's life, some people's lives are already constrained because of the leadership under which they came. And some of you are sitting before me, and you will look back and say, Kai, I have been a product of those who handled my life. What I ought to know when I was younger, I was not given. It has laid a faulty foundation for my journey in life. But now it becomes more serious when you take upon yourself the leadership of souls of men that are irretrievable. Did you get me to that point? Because a disciple cannot be greater than his master when he has been fully trained, he can only be like his master. It then means that the resourcefulness of a leader, of a discipler, of a master, of a teacher, does not only define, it determines, may I now finally say, it actually seals everything else the man could get. It would be a wonderful thing to have a leader who understands the limitedness of his resourcefulness and decides, are you hearing me? Either to help those that he's leading to access where there are wider resources for their lives. It will have been wonderful. At least to say, I don't have what it takes to take you to where you are going, but I can point you to where you can get it. You will still have been a leader to respect. But many leaders, they can only say, we are here. There's nothing you are looking for that we cannot give you. What do you want to become? You want to be better than me? Now, such leaders whose personal resourcefulness of life is a damage to the capacity of those that are leading, they will not go scot-free when God brings men to judgment. What are you doing to expand your own resourcefulness as a man who wants God to use him? What are you doing to dig deeper to make your life more resourceful, that men could gather something from your life that will be a blessing? Can we go to the third point of the matter of the resourcefulness of a leader? The third point is even a little more fearful. Where do I get that? Look at verse 43 and 44. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of a thorn of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush can they gather grapes. What is the third matter? It is that the resourcefulness of a leader is the only kind of resource he can transfer to others. You are not getting me. That's a little complex. That what you carry, your personal resourcefulness, are you hearing me? Is the only kind of resourcefulness that you can transfer to those that you are leading, whether good or bad. So, the resourcefulness of a leader is the kind of resources he transfers. And if that which Jesus is saying is true, it brings us to a very critical matter. Of what kind of men, of what kind of women are you in leadership? So, I want, because time will not let me go all the way I want to go on this matter, I want to say very quickly, it then means that it is not what you do that comes first in leadership. It is who you are that matters most in providing what? Leadership. Who are you? Who are you? Your intrinsic life, the constituent of your personality, is the first consideration for you to become an effective or a defective leader. An effective leader is a leader who affects men, who moves men and those that are under him onto their desired goal, and does not leave any deformity or narrowness on their opportunities in life. But now, it is totally dependent on who he is. Because no man can gather from you what you are not. So let me tell you now, a prayerless leader can preach prayer. He can do great exposition on how to pray, on the power of prayer, on the times of prayer, on the mode of prayer, on the forms of prayer. He can fill the whole fellowship with the knowledge of prayer, but it will not produce a prayerful fellowship. What will he produce? A prayerless fellowship. Why? Because he himself is what? A prayerless leader. That's how it works. You cannot tell people to do what you are not. It won't work. So when you look at Jesus, what is the key issue of Jesus' leadership style? Let me tell you what it was. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you." Oh, whenever I have read Jesus, my heart just shivers. I say, this is the leader I want. What did he say? Follow me. There's a great difference between follow me and follow the doctrine. I hope you know there's a great difference. There's a great difference between follow me and follow the teaching. Follow me rather than follow the program. Jesus did not offer program. He did not even offer doctrine. What did he offer? Himself. Follow me. And I, hallelujah, my life will make you. It is my life that will make you what you want to be. It is when a man has that kind of life that his words, listen now, his words, his words inject spirit and inject life to those that are hearing. There are many talkers, talkatives, wonderful, powerful preachers, but not followable. They are not followable. There's no life to follow. In fact, it's better not to get near them and just be hearing them preaching to you from afar. It's better. The day you get near them, what you will collect will finish you. May God help you to understand. When Jesus said, "Follow me," Jesus was saying, "I am the resource." He said, "I am meek and lowly of heart." Is that what he said? I will give you rest. Are you a leader whose life can give rest to those that you are leading? Are you doing something that you are having to hide so that the brothers and sisters will not know that you are still doing it? Let me inform you, whether they know or not, that is what you are transmitting to them unconsciously. You don't understand me. If somebody has tuberculosis, anytime he coughs, and it, what comes out? All those germs, they're the thing that go out. So you will think he just coughed. He has released maybe a million of those very microscopic organisms into your system. And they will grow. What organisms are you releasing? I don't know whether you are hearing me. If you stand up and say, "Let's praise the Lord! Let us praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" As you are saying that, people may think you are saying, "Let us praise the Lord." But what you are releasing is the thing that you are. That's what they are collecting. No man can gather grape from bamboo bush. It were better never to be in leadership than to be a man who does not carry a life that men should take from. The resourcefulness of a leader transcends preaching, transcends activity. It is first of all the resourcefulness of his life, the life he carries. Let's quickly see some few things Jesus pointed out. Go back to that same passage and let's draw issues before we go away from there. He said in verse 41 and 42, he said, Why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in your own eye? You see, I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus like I do? I love Jesus. I love him for who he is, but I love him also for his great wisdom. You know what he said? What you are seeing in those who are following you, in proportion to what you need to first deal with, is like you have left a big plank and you are chasing sawdust. So let's quickly find. Where do we get sawdust? Do you know that it's a big plank that produces what? Sawdust. Did you hear what Jesus said? That why are you chasing sawdust when the plank that is releasing sawdust into the eyes of those that are following you is located where? If we get rid of plank, are we going to have sawdust again? I saw Jesus saying, look, when you look at proportions of where to focus in order to help those that you are leading, the proportionate time and focus and deliberateness that you need to exercise is much more on who? On yourself rather than on them. I don't know how to tell you. I just saw something. If my life, if God can help my life to be right on, to be correct, to be on fire, to be prayerful, to be holy, to be focused, I don't need to worry. The people that are following me, they will not be different. So did you hear what I'm hearing Jesus say to me? You have no business leading men when you have left yourself unled. You are not hearing me at all. What did I say? You have no business leading men when you have left yourself on what? Unled. I saw that with Jesus. I noted that Jesus only said to them, do what? Follow me. Now, if somebody says, follow me, what is that person doing? What is that person doing? That person is going. That person is going. And as he's going, people have opportunity to do what? To do what? To follow. I discover Jesus' pattern of leadership was that he focused on who? On himself. He focused on his own obedience. He focused on his own walking with God. He focused on the pursuit of his mission. He focused on the pursuit of his vision. He focused on what God told him to do. And as he was doing it, those disciples, they have someone to do what? To follow. If you want to be a leader, listen. A leader that is a correct, effective leader is a leader that is going. As he's going, he will have followers. They will be drawing things from his life because he is going. And as he's going, he's growing. It is a going leader that is a growing leader. When you stop going, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you become a stagnant problem to those who are coming, because they will start hitting a stop. They can't go anywhere again.
But do you know that if I want to raise men who can grow to any capacity they want to grow to in life, and I will still be their leader, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm growing, I'm going. By the time I'm going, they want to stretch their leg. But when they have stretched the best of their stride, they find me going. Is it difficult to follow a leader that each time you are following him, he gives you enough ground to stretch your best potential? And he's not saying, why are you stepping on my toes? Because his toes is not anywhere for you to step on. It's only a stagnant leader you can step on his toe. When a man is no more going and he's stretching his leg in one place like this, you will step on his toe, because we need a place to put our feet and he's not moving. You will step on his toe, and mistakenly you may push him down and they say, you're a rebellious boy. No. If a man is growing, you can't step on his toe. Honestly speaking, where you are discovering that you want to get to, that's where he has left. And when you are saying, I have discovered something new. I have discovered something new, sir. He said, oh, praise God. Did you discover that? Praise the Lord. I discovered that 5 years ago. And if you don't want to miss road, you just see my footprints. You will see the footprints. And please come along. Don't stay, because there's still a great journey ahead of you. And when you lift up your eyes, you see that your guy is already on the other side. You say, I must run. That's how to be a leader. A resourceful leader is a leader that first and foremost concentrates on his own growth, on his own going. He knows what releases sawdust in the eyes of those that he's leading. Is the emission of the plank in his own life. So when he takes away plank from his own life, he's able to see clearly how to help those that are coming behind him. The resourcefulness of a leader is the resourcefulness of his life. Are we together? So Jesus said, first, cast out the plank. It's a priority. It's not something we can postpone. It's not something we can let be for some time. It's a priority. First, cast out the plank. Then you will see clearly. Effective leadership is only possible from a resourceful leader who is ever growing, ever increasing, ever going. I want you to pray, make me such a leader. Such leaders, they don't shout for people to follow. Their lives is a compelling force that makes men to follow. They follow him because they have been captured by his life. Some people don't understand. They say, why are you following that brother? Why are you following Bragilina? Why are you following Bragilina? Sometimes I say, did I beg them to follow me? I don't beg for followership. But the truth of the matter is that if there is something to follow, and you see that if I follow this, I will arrive at where I'm going. Who begs you to follow? You just cancel yourself. Let me follow this. May the Lord make you an effective leader. Because of time, let me take the second point, and then I let you pray together with me. Now, what is the second point Jesus raised there? He said, verse 45, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It's the same principle. But I take the side of the good man. Because I'm trusting God that you'll be a good man. You'll be a good leader. Do you know that you are not just being prepared for leadership just for the little fellowship in your campus? Once a man is being prepared for leadership, he's being prepared for leadership. Leadership is not just group. That is why when some of us understood that, we knew that leadership is not equal to position. Hey, are you hearing me? Position, platform, office is a very little thing about leadership. It is possible to be a leader, and you are not having an office, yet you are the one leading the fellowship. Very possible. When some of us discover that, I say, hey! So this is the issue I need to pursue. There were times we were fighting for leadership position. I need to be president. I must be this. I must be that. God says, what is that? What do you mean by that? When you pursue what I'm doing in your life, and you become a followable man who has abundance, men will follow you. I said, Lord, I want to practice it. I want to check it. So I began to commit myself. I wanted to study. I want to pray. I want to, you know. So sometimes I'm not the leader. I'm not the Bible study secretary. I was just assistant secretary, was to be announcing letters. That's all my duty. But because something is grooming up in my life, when we go for Bible study, and I just say, excuse me, can I contribute to that? They say, yeah, Bragule, yes. I discovered that I will say two sentences. It will become the theme of the Bible study. They say, like Brother Gwile said. When the fellowship finished, this sister says, sir, Bragule, I need to talk to you. That thing you said casually is the issue of my life. So when everybody has left, I'm having 5-10 people waiting to talk to me. One day, the president was annoyed with me. He said, regulate the kind of thing you are doing. We don't like it. I said, what is it? What am I doing? I'm doing nothing. Leadership is a life. It's not an office. Even though we must create offices in our fellowships, yet we need to produce leaders who are leaders indeed. So Jesus said, a good man out of the treasure. So where is this resourcefulness need to be located? Where? The treasure of his heart. A heart that is full of good things in the treasure of the heart. He said, of the abundance of the treasure in his heart, the mouth speaketh. So I saw Jesus saying, look, you want to be a leader? That men will gather things from your life. It is out of the abundance. So do you know what I found? A leader who is going to be effective must have abundance of resourcefulness far above what he ministers to the fellowship regularly. I didn't know that. I thought that what makes me a good leader is that when I have a sermon to preach, I prepare. Then I carry it. I come and say, praise the Lord! You know, as I was just praying, God just gave me a message. God said, no. That's not what I want you to be. I want you to be a man who carries a treasure in your heart, who brings forth things new and old from the treasure of his heart. That each time you have to open your mouth, you are speaking out of an abundance. Does any of you want to be resourceful? Do you want to go beyond fellowship program and become a leader indeed, whose life will create an unending influence upon the lives of people? It is possible. But you are going to first set it as a priority. Priority. The resourcefulness of an effective leader. The cry of my heart is that God will make you resourceful. Yes. You see, I'm not just talking to you. I want God to create in you an hunger for that kind of treasure. I want God to make the Bible something like honey, that you have an insatiable desire to dig into, not because you have a sermon to preach, but because you just want to be a resourceful person out of which men could gather, and it will never finish. That's what I want to be. That's my cry for you. All the presidents, all the general secretaries, all the vice presidents, all the Bible study secretaries, all of you prayer secretaries, all of you, I see that God is raising resourceful persons who will become leaders in the purpose of God in the coming days. But it will begin on that campus. But it will not end in your campus. It will follow you everywhere. People will come from all over the world to drink from that abundance. You don't yet understand the shape of it. You don't yet know what it will look like when God will do what he says. But can you make your life available today? Say, Lord, here am I. Let's stand up to pray together. Lord, here am I, deal with me. Lift up your two hands to God and say, Lord, make me your battle axe. Make me your battle axe, kept Lord in thy quiver. Try trim sharpened in thy furnace. meet for my master's use. Grace, thy grace alone is all I plead for. Grace to serve the upright Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. Make me sharp. Make me your battle axe. Kept, Lord, in thy quiver. Try, trimmed, and sharpened in your furnace. Meet for my master's use. Lord, keep working on my heart. Keep dealing with me, O God. As we go on in this meeting, keep focusing on my life. Keep putting your finger on the beam until I am meet for my master's use. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.
This has been Living Seed. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org.